Bernard's Footy Cast, the official podcast of the St. Bernard Football Club.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Well, it is one of the age-old questions. Who did let the dogs out? Hello, everyone, and welcome to the St. Bernard's Old Collegian Football Club Footy Cast. And I'm your host, Joe Pignataro, and have decided that this football club and me need to delve a little bit deeper into the walls of the mighty Snow Dogs. So I've come up with this brilliant idea to create, produce, and present a podcast of our famous club. A little bit of history for those new to the club. St. Bernard's has been around since 1963, co-founded by Peter Nathan and Jim Overman under the presidency of the late Kevin Tobin. 1963, a great year for Geelong fans, of course, won their premiership back then. Our vibrant club, though, created history with immediate success with the seniors and reserve premierships in our inaugural year. Never happened before, never going to happen again. Absolutely sensational. In 1964, we took out the D-grade premiership against Old Brighton, going back-to-back. 1966, 67, a couple of preliminary finals before breaking through to a C-grade granny, which put us in a B-grade. A short stay in B-grade before another promotion to A-grade in 1970. What a year that was for Carlton fans. 44 points down, and they've come back over the mighty Pies. During the 70s, though, the Snow Dogs, they contested three A-grade grand finals, winning the club's first A-grade flag over North Old Boys in 1975. Also, North Melbourne's first premiership back in 1975. In 1976, the tables, however, were turned on us and we finished runner-up to the Knobs. And then in 1977, Peter Wrawton created history by winning the coveted Wood Row Medal. The first St. Bernard's player to do so. During the 80s, the Snow Dogs, well, we alternated between A-grade and B-grade. Bernie Angel became the second St. Bernard's player to win the Wood Row Medal. And then in the 90s, we kicked that off in style. Not only did Collingwood break a 32-year Collywobble drought in winning the 1990 AFL Grand Final, but we claimed another Woodrow medalist in Luke Gallant and the B-grade premiership over the old boys Zavs. At the turn of the century, we got pinned against old Zavs and the granny in 2000. We went down valiantly, but 2 years later in 2002, we got our chance of redemption, winning our second A-grade premiership over Zavs by 31 points. And a young Danny Byrne became the first St. Bernard's player to be announced best on ground, winning the Jock Nelson medal. It was a period of dominance that only resulted in one premiership, but a time the club is extremely proud of. In that time, seven St. Bernard's players drafted into the AFL. Magnificent result. Later in the decade, the club reintroduced Club 18 footy and a thirds football side, and in 2013, this magnificent club celebrated its 50th anniversary, naming a team of the half century. To add to the rich history of the club, in 2015, we added our third A-grade premiership flag to its list of achievements with an 8-point victory over Old Trinity. Young gun and now Melbourne Demon Mitch Hannon was awarded the Jock Nelson Medal for the best player on the ground. He's doing some great stuff at AFL level, but a couple of years ago, he was swanning around at St. Bernard, jumping over packs, kicking long goals and taking long running bounces down the wing. These days, the club has five sides in the VAFA, seniors right through to under-19s and 13 in the WRFL. Their expansion into the women's division is in the works, and an Auskick program that is the envy of other local sporting clubs. Over 650 players run out for the mighty St. Bernard's each weekend, and having been a part of those 650 players, I can safely say from experience, it's a privilege to pull on that jumper and represent the mighty Bernards each week. Shortly I'll be joined by the senior coach of the footy club, Mark Bomer-Riley, and we'll have a chat about the season that was and the dramatic, heartbreaking finish at both seniors and reserve level. Of course, there's plenty in the works still. The best and fairest coming up next week, Super Saturday at Hoagies, footy trip, retirements, and planning for the upcoming pre-season. And one for the junior pups. The 2018 development program is open for girls and boys aged 9 to 14. Two exciting fun sessions a week, but for more information, email junioradmin@stbernardsfc.com.au. And in the coming weeks, we'll endeavour to get someone on about this and discuss what it's all about. But speaking of retirements, we mentioned them a little bit earlier on, there was a notable one late in the season. Club champion Joey Pignataro went down in a heap during the opening minutes of the third quarter, with the medicos fearing the worst on a knee injury. It was confirmed 24 hours later, an ACL tear, and subsequently 12 months out of the game. Instead of having those 12 months out, he's decided to call it quits and move into the media. But here is a little bit of that emotional press conference on the day of his announcement.
I spoke to the doctors yesterday that it's pretty serious. Full knee reconstruction. So on that note, I'm deciding that I'm going to hang up the boots and give it away. And it's time to move on to the next phase of my life.
What are you looking forward to next year now that the career is over?
I think I'm going to follow every other AFL player and move into the media. I think I might do some calling, maybe do some special comments, maybe do a few sporties for some cash. But at this stage, look, it's all up in the air, really. I'll just send out the resume, probably on LinkedIn, and we'll move in from there.
So there it is. Your heart breaks for that stuff, doesn't it? Anyway, we wish Joey well. No doubt he'll be back in some capacity throughout next season. But coming up now, let's chat to Mark Bomber Riley. It's been a big year for the St Bernard's Footy Club, coming off the back of a year to forget in 2016, going down to B grade after winning the A grade premiership in 2015. A dramatic fallout in this year's final series has left a lot of hearts broken at the Snowdogs. And the man who's overseen all of this is the senior coach, Mark Bomber Riley, and he joins me today. Hello, Bomber.
Yes, good, Joe. Yeah, 2 days since the, well, 3 days since we got knocked out. So, yeah, life goes on, mate. Life goes on.
It does, because Richmond are playing in a final this week. Are you excited by the AFL finals at least?
Well, I'm excited by the potential of possibly watching a decent final this weekend, because there hasn't been too many good ones. I mean, even the draw that everyone got carried away with, the skill level and the slow outside ball movement was appalling that night.
It's been an awful final series in comparison to the closeness of the season. Did the closeness of the season mask just how poor the standard was this year?
Oh, look, you've set me up with that question, because I've spoken to a few people about that all year. I went and watched a fair bit of AFL football live, and look, there were some terrific games, but I think certainly the margins, and then, you know, how tight it was up into around 22 or 3 to make, you know, to fill 7th and 8th spot, I couldn't believe how many grass balls, and I understand pressure in modern day footy's high, but I'm talking about disposal effectiveness when pressure was low, missing targets with hand, missing targets with feet, set shot goal kicking's never been at its worst. So, you know, you get some great games, but overall, I think the AFL do an incredibly good job of marketing their product, and some of their product was rubbish.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I heard Dr. Turf the other day say the same sort of thing. And speaking about seasons overall, this is your second year at the Snowdogs. How do you think this season went for you, your second time around?
Yeah, well, obviously last year was, well, it was new for me, and I had to come to terms with the fact that for 2 decades I'd been lucky enough to work at the top level, and so then to sort of come back at suburban and amateur level and just readjust to a few things took me a while. And then we all know that in 2016 we lost a lot of the boys that brought home the bacon as far as the Premiership Cup was concerned, and then we also got an incredible run with injury. So, look, yeah, it was a tough year, 16, and went from premiers to relegation, so that's not looking good on my CV. So this year we made the decision, and I thought there was a couple of initiatives that the club through the Diamond Dogs, I thought paid positive dividends, and that we embarked on quite a strong pre-season training campaign, both as a full collective, but also we put a few of our young Tyros into Adam Akabuchi's gym, and Adam trained them up, I think, 2 and 3 times a week for that 10-week period prior that we had between, you know, when you get your season finishes and when you officially start pre-season. And I thought that had good dividends on most of the boys that participated in that program. And then we also decided that as a team and a club, we would train officially, you know, 3 nights a week rather than the old 2 nights and non-compulsory on a Friday night. I mean, the year before I used to go down to Friday nights and there'd be 12 and 13 blokes there. But we had, you know, between 45 and 55 on the Monday and Wednesday and usually 35 to 40 on a Friday, which was just a real skill-based team-style training session. So it was good. And we really jumped out of the block strongly. Our start to the year was probably the best football we've played. And then we started to get injuries again. And so I thought the players did quite a damn good job to, you know, McNamara kicked, I think, 35 goals or close to and missed 8 games. And then it took him another 3 or 4 to get a bit of match fitness back. Michael Caven, who is quite a very difficult forward line matchup because he plays in the air and can hit the ground. He's so fast. He never played after round 3 after breaking his leg. Harry Rock, you know, we've got a really good hard ball get, contested ball get midfield with Bentick and Vague and Bavanda, big body lads who put their head over the ball. But we tend to lack a bit of zip and pace. And Harry Rock complemented those blokes beautifully. And then he did a hamstring and was out for a while. Then he came back and did a shoulder and probably missed the whole last 6 or 8 games. So I think to play 40-plus players and to be as competitive as we were, really, we had one stinker. But out of the 20 games we played, we were very poor one windy day over at Scotch. You know, we were pretty competitive other than that and end up making the first semi. Well, it just shows, too, you need to win enough games to finish 1 and 2 and get that second chance. But we were playing cutthroat final and we were good enough to win the first one and not good enough to win the second one. So overall, look, the end wasn't a good taste, but I enjoyed the year and I thought fairly young side with still a heck of a lot of improvement in it.
Yep.
And obviously the difficult, what I've noticed in the 2 pre-seasons is to, you've got to one, firstly retain your players and then secondly try and attract players in. You know, we've got Jack Mack in who is a big, powerful influencer. Domi Amano really added to our forward line with his pressure and pace. And Matty Raymond came to our club and he's got beautiful kicking skills. Matty ended up playing 4 games
at
osteitis pubis and then had to have a shoulder operation. So we've got to try and keep everyone we've got and maybe attract a couple of new ones.
I mean, you mentioned it before, the amount of players, you used 42 for the year. 9 of those played their first game for the club at senior level. Does that experience for them make them better for the run? And what are you thinking of doing differently? I know we've just finished this season, so it's probably a bit early, but during this upcoming pre-season, is they're going to be a little bit different for the blokes to come down and enjoy themselves?
Well, that's the delicate balance, Joe. At the end of the day, there's no substitution for actually hard work, and there's no substitution in football for football fitness than running and repeat effort football training. But you're right, you have to get numbers there. It's got to be a positive, bubbly environment. I mean, we tried to mix it up with a few game orientation stuff, but in all honesty, I haven't given it 1 second
of
support the pre-season, mate. I'm still thinking about the time that my mind refocuses to football were probably the dozen missed opportunities that we had on the weekend in either saving a goal or kicking a goal.
Well, let's, if we can, talk about the finals series. I mean, 2 weeks ago in the semi-finals or the first weekend of the finals, it was the reserves who drew their game and lost in extra time to Old Carey. And on the weekend, it was the seniors' turn. How did the game pan out in your mind? And was it lost in the last minute or, you know, drawn in the last minute that resulted in a loss? Or was it something earlier in the game?
Oh, you know, everyone looks at the last minute. You know, you had to look at the media coverage of Luke Shuey's, tackle. I just got talked about for at the end of the day. I thought Scotch jumped us out of the blocks and we were possibly a bit lucky in the first quarter. I mean, they kicked 3-7 and we kicked 2-1 or 2-2, so we weren't that far behind at quarter time. And we were able to square the game up by half time quite quickly. But even though we squared the game up, we kicked 3-7 in the second quarter.
Yep.
A couple of Scotch's goals early in the game were from our direct turnovers, either handballing the ball under moderate pressure directly to the opposition or drop chest mark. They're two that I can remember. Now, that's where Scotch didn't have to do a modicum of hard work or win a contest to score a goal, whereas we were very, very labour-intensive. And, you know, it's too easy to say with a minute to go we were 1-1 up.
Yep.
We may have been, but the game's played over 100 minutes and we had ample opportunity to be 3 and 4 goals up at that period of time.
Do you subscribe to the theory that, you know, bad kicking in front of goal is bad football, or is that just a throwaway line?
Well, you got to scratch a bit deeper than that, because of our 20 points, mate, not all of them were bad kicking. Some were bad decisions. You know, we shot in the second quarter, we shot from 55 on three occasions and kicked three long points. I mean, not many people kick the ball 55 metres accurately, and we should have been looking to generate another chip kick inside or a three-quarter kick. And so it wasn't all just bad kicking, mate. It was a bit of bad decision-making as well.
While we're talking about the forwards you had down there this year, Chris Spinello kicked 35, Eden Sibbold 33, and Jack Mack, who you mentioned earlier, kicked 32. All three finished in the top 10 in the comp. Next year, and again, I know you're not looking that far ahead, but do we need a bit more of an even spread from the smaller forwards that go through that forward line?
Well, we didn't really have one, Joe. I mean, Chris is a smaller forward, Chris Spinello, but he marks it. So in the end of the day, that's not a bad spread, having three guys in the 30s, considering that McNamara missed eight games.
Yep.
And we didn't really play Dom forward till the end of the year. And I don't know how many Dom would have ended up kicking. But I
finished with 18, along with Sean Clark, the ruckman.
Well, he probably kicked 15 of them in the last 5 weeks.
Yep.
So he was very good down there. But, we were seriously looking for a small forward for most of the year. Dom filled that breach late. But overall, our forwards were pretty inconsistent. On Sunday, I mean, we had it in there 52 times and a couple of them hardly touched it. So, yeah, well, that was disappointing. Disappointing. But no, I think our spread is good. It's not.
Yep.
Look, we also have to look at the way we bring the ball in, mate. We're a very labour-intensive team. We work very hard. Our effort is generally pretty good. But I think sometimes our method going into the forward 50 is either pretty basic or makes it easier for the oppo to defend.
Let's look at some of the positive stuff from this season. Going into the year, I don't know what your sort of expectations were, but when you picked that side for round one compared to the team you picked on the weekend, were there a lot of boys in that side that you thought had breakout years that you probably didn't have them penciled in at the start of the season at all?
Trying to think. Well, you know, Eden Sibbold improved quite dramatically from the skinny little kid that played a couple of first grade games last year.
Yeah, I think he was one who did the Yakabuchi training, or he definitely did a lot of weights over the summer.
He benefited from quite a strong pre-season. He's 6'4", I think, and he's good on the ground. He's got good kicking skills. Look, he didn't do much on Saturday, which was disappointing. But overall, you'd say his season was very positive, and if he can get that quantum improvement, he'd be a very good player, you know, again, because he's got a fair bit of improvement in him. He was good. I mean, the Twins started slowly, but the Twins are good players. They got good pace and good ground-level skill. I thought Luke Delizio was a real find out of the under-19s, Joe. He sort of came, probably played nearly every game, and probably played starting midfield every game. Yeah, he was a very good find out of our under-19s. Connor Riley came across from Sandringham and played some pretty consistent footy across half-back. He was another one that managed to play his worst game on the biggest end, you know, the pointy end.
So. Yeah.
Well, but he was overall, he added to our back six.
We've got the other ones, you've debutants this year on top of those two you mentioned. Timmy Rose also debuted. He then went overseas, but I'm assuming he may well have played more games had he stayed in the country. Same as Pat Romano, who also debuted and then went overseas. Tom Madden played a bit through the wing, and the other one was Luke Holland played a game as well.
Yeah, Luke played the last game, and Luke Madden, who hadn't played for about three seasons, also came back and was quite a consistent performer for the last few games. I think to take the next step forward and not leave things to chance, we need not just to play young players, but we need the club, the playing list as a whole, to actually make a demonstrable commitment to the cause. I mean, blokes going away in footy season, if they're footballers and serious about their football, I struggle with Joe, you know?
Yep.
And Sam Woods was another one. He went on a family holiday, and you all know Sam, extremely brave player, brilliant wingman and halfback. And he was another one that went. You know, Nick Bergen arguably played his best football game for St. Bernard's in seniors and then went on a two-week holiday, rendering him almost, you know, his chances of playing in the finals in the seniors non-existent. So, yeah, there are a few things that I think we can talk about and discuss. It's probably not the this week is not the right time to discuss them, but I think if we want to eliminate luck, or as much, you need a bit of luck, but if we want to eliminate as much luck as we can and put it down to hard work and ability, then we need a commitment from our squad, that we're going to commit to the football season.
Well, I was going to ask you about needing a little bit of luck in a footy season. I mean, we hear AFL coaches all the time talking about that. Do you subscribe to that theory, or is that, again, just another sort of throwaway line that gets chucked out?
No, you need a bit of luck, mate. You know, Tom Caven had a super year and playing really well, and we were 9 goals up at Old Brighton with 5 minutes to play and fractures his ankle. Did a remarkable job, Tom, to get up and play on the weekend, but he wasn't at his best, and how could he be? You know, he had 4 weeks off, you know, so... What I talk about a bit of luck is if Tom Caven doesn't get injured in that game and his great form continues, then I guarantee he saves 1 or 2 goals on the weekend.
No, I reckon you're 100% spot on. We've seen, I mean, again, AFL level, Joel Selwood's racing against time to get back. He hasn't played great footy, but he's there for Geelong, and he's that leader. So Tom Caven playing similar sort of role for the Bernards boys. Coming up next week is the best and fairest night. Now, we saw Bench and Sean Clark fared well in the... Ammo's version of the Brownlow last week. Are they the ones to sort of look out for ahead of this count?
Yeah, I would have thought that Adam Bentick overall was our most consistent player. And then I would have thought there would probably be 5 or 6 boys in the next tier. And that 5 or 6 of them could finish 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th or 6th. That's what I would have thought, you know. Clarkey, Simon Caven was pretty good all year. Luke Delizio was pretty good all year.
The Hughes boys, you mentioned them before.
Yeah, the Hughes boys were pretty good. Connor Riley was pretty good consistently. Chris Spinella was pretty good. So, you know, there'll be... Tom Caven was good, but he missed, you know, now missed 4 or 5 games. Bavanda was good too, but he missed 3 from suspension and probably 4 for a hamstring.
Yep.
They're the types of things you think are lucky, you know. You've got a bit of luck either way. And who knows?
Now, I just want...
We needed to make our own. I must reinforce, Joe, we needed to make our own luck on Saturday and we didn't.
Maybe next year. Well, we look to next year with great hope. I want you to do one little crystal ball exercise for us and give me a name that I can put into this vault of who's going to have the biggest improvement during the pre-season coming up and into next season, if there's anyone that sort of stands out in your mind.
Oh, well, really that... My wish list and what I would wish for really is it will be up to the individuals to commit to pre-season and commit to training hard and whatever. I think everyone at our club, from the oldest player to the youngest, has an incredible amount of improvement in them. In all seriousness, I really do. I mean, some of the real fit guys need a bit more game understanding or a bit more skill development. Some of the guys that are beautifully skilled need to do a bit more work on their fitness. So I've dodged your question pretty well there, Joe.
That's pretty good. Very political. You've learnt that at AFL level, I reckon, how to answer that one. Now, just before we finish up, I just want one-word answers on these following questions.
Okay.
The best trainer at the club.
Best trainer at the club.
You can put yourself in too if you think you're good at walking laps.
Well, I really like the fact that Mike Angel is there all the time. You know, he's probably not the most polished and exquisite of skilled trainers, but Mike is first there, last to leave, hardly ever misses a night. I had to give him a couple of nights off this year, so he's an absolute ripper and gets the job done week in, week out. Chris and Mitch train with good pace and intensity. Eden's a good trainer. He trains well. Kicks. I mean, I really take a shining to the boys that kick the ball well on the training track and train it a good clip.
All right, I want you to give someone a clip now. Who's the worst trainer at the club?
The worst trainer?
Who could lift at least another level?
Oh, everyone can lift another level.
Oh, everyone, okay. Political answer again. Yeah, I want you to pot someone.
Nah, I'm not a potter.
All right, we'll let that go. What's your favourite saying? Now, you've got a lot of them.
Oh, my favourite saying?
Yeah, which one do you like the most? Which one of your analogies, I mean, most of them get them roaring with laughter and they lose concentration for at least 5 minutes, but there's got to be one that sticks out in your mind that you love using.
Oh, well, I quite sticks out like black balls on a white dot. Resonate. That gets a good run, I reckon.
Yeah. Who do you reckon spends more time on the Facebook page, Paddy Crabbe or Craig Connolly?
I don't know, mate. I'm not into Facebook.
All right. I'm going to answer that and say it's Paddy Crabb. What's your favourite training drill?
Oh, I like counter-attack out of the back half, run and carry it or kick it on angles and then finish off hitting forwards and forwards hitting goals. So something game sense like that. I'm not a, you know, big, even though there's a room for it, I don't get interested in cone drills, even though you need them to do a bit of, to do your warm-up skill acquisition and whatever. I much prefer the decision-making stuff and a bit of repeat effort stuff.
Are meetings overrated or underrated?
They're very much underrated, in all honesty. Like, I cut them back this year.
Yep.
But there's so much to learn from visual review and discussion, but I'm mindful of that, of guys' time.
Your favourite memory from this year?
Look, there was a couple. I thought that, you know, the boys won, I think even the weekend we won another one. So we won 17 of 20 last quarters. So some of our comebacks were pretty good, like the game against Scotch, home and away game, I thought, in the first round at Snake Pit. We were cooked at three-quarter time and somehow found a way to get up and win.
Yep.
First semi-final, you know, we were challenged and then got up and put that beyond doubt. That was a good win. Thought Ajax at home was a pretty good win as well. I mean, none of these are ultra, unless you're winning grand finals, they're just home and away games, mate. So they're hardly like a rousing memory. But
and if someone was to ask you about 2017 in, say, 10 years' time, I mean, you'd obviously talk about the fact that you drew and then lost in extra time. But if there's a favourable memory from the year, you'd list those, wouldn't you?
No, if someone asked me about 2017, I'd say, yeah, that was the season before we won the grand final and went back to A grade.
Wow, that sounds pretty good. There's your answer. Done. And last question before I let you go. The best way to sum up this year from October 30 last year through till Saturday 3 days ago?
Hard work, missed opportunity.
Bomber Riley, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for your time, Joe. You're a ripper.
Well, there's the coach, Mark Bomber Riley, joining me. Plenty of insights and plenty of positives and no doubt plenty to look forward to on the horizon. And as President Paddy Crabb said straight after the loss, the sun will come up tomorrow. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but we do move onwards and upwards from here. And just before we finish up, a reminder that the club best and fairest is going to be held on Thursday, September the 28th, a couple of days out from the AFL Grand Final. It's a night not to be missed. It's a year to be celebrated, so get your tickets now. And to do that, you just email Luke Sherry for your tickets, organise your tables. It's going to be held at the Ultima Function Centre at Keilor Park. We spoke about it with Bomber, Adam Bentick and Sean Clark, who finished high up the voting in the B-grade best in comp medal. They're probably going to be the ones to look out for at senior level. There's a few others at reserves and thirds and, of course, the under-19s. And as well as that, this Saturday, club legend Ben Hogan will host Super Saturday down at his place with plenty on offer. He promised me earlier that he's going to deliver the winning numbers to the quaddie before the big Richmond GWS preliminary final. A big thanks to everyone involved in the program, to Bomber Riley for giving us so much of his time today. And to keep up to date with all the goings-on at St Bernard's, log on to Facebook, follow the official page. We're active on Instagram. We're active on Twitter, at St Bernard's FC, if you're looking for it. And of course, the website, stbernardsfc.com.au. And as always, I'm Joe Pignataro. We want you to stay tuned for more on the St Bernard's Footy Club. Until next time, go the Snow Dogs!